Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are about to break the surly bonds of gravity and punch the face of God.
I wish I was a little bit Left taller. Jab Productions present Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide. And now your host, Dave Zirin.
The Schmata Kid.
Boom! Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide. I'm Dave Zirin, joined as always by a man who just turned down a max deal to play for the Lakers. He just hates Kobe that much. Why should he be different from the rest of America? Dan Baker, DB! I don't blame you.
How can you?
How can you play with him?
Be the worst time of your basketball life. If you're a rising
Horrible.
Star, hey, let's watch Kobe jack up 50 shots a game while he's chasing the scoring title.
And who's going to be impressed with John Buss saying, you know, if you come to L.A., you can be a big star. It's like, what is this, 1982? You can be a big star anywhere now. Why
maybe
are they using that as a selling
yet.
Point?
Maybe the internet hasn't quite made its way over there yet.
I know. That's the only thing I can think. They're not online in L.A. Joined always by the coach, Kevin Nutt. How you doing, coach?
Dave, I've had a busy day, man. I tell you, man. Let's see. What have I done today? Oh, I wrestled with an alligator, tussled with a whale.
Ah.
Handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. I'm a bad man, Dave Zirin, a bad man.
Very nicely done. What an impression of Brandi Chastain. I think that was the best Chastain impression
I've
ever heard. And Mean Mark Barry, how you doing, Mean Mark?
Take my shirt
so
off.
Good. You're a chip off the old block, Dave.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, which block?
I don't know, but there's a chip involved.
There's a chip involved. You know what? The chip, or microchip, has yet to make its way to Los Angeles. I don't know if you heard that.
TV doesn't exist, not in New York and L.A.
It's like, I'm sure you can be a big star in L.A. We've got this thing called cable.
It worked for Dwight Howard.
Did work on Dwight Howard. It's so sad. On Netflix, they're now offering a documentary about Dwight Howard. Who would watch this? I would love to know how many views it had. I bet more people have seen that FIFA movie. My God. What are people thinking? Well, we got a hell of a show.
We're going to talk about that, by the way, right?
Oh, no. We got wild stuff to talk about this week. We are going to talk about NBA free agency. That'll be the marquee segment. We're also going to talk to one of my favorites, Brenda Elzey, about the latest with the Women's World Cup. We have the United States playing Japan with one of the most devastating endings to any match ever in any sport. In all seriousness, if you think of the stakes involved, as one person put it, imagine if the Chris Webber timeout happens in Chris Webber's last game. Because that's what we're talking about. But Laura Bassett was her name, the own goal by England. I mean, might not ever play again. So, I mean, it's unbelievable stuff. And we're going to hear from Mean Mark Barry, though, after the break, about why we should be watching baseball during these dog days of summer. I know. I don't know why we're doing this segment either. We'll be back right after this.
Edge of Sports Radio with Dave Zirin. We'll return after this. Dave Zirin returns on Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide.
Boom, we're back here on Edge of Sports Radio. This free agency news is giving me headaches. My goodness, if the greatest bargain by far in my mind is Danny Green getting $48 million over 4 years, and apparently he only got that because the Knicks forgot to call him.
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just too much fun.
What happened?
He assumed they weren't interested, and he looked at San Antonio, which is, by the way, my God, although LaMarcus Aldridge, rumor has it, may be going to the Suns because he really wants to play with Tyson Chandler. No, it's not that unreasonable.
As opposed to Duncan.
It's not that unreasonable.
Okay.
All NBA players love Phoenix. All NBA players love Phoenix.
The Steve Nash effect.
Yes.
They have the best trainers.
They have the best trainers. They have Eric Bledsoe. That's no joke.
For now.
And if they have Tyson Chandler, apparently for Aldridge, it's a huge deal that he doesn't want to play center. Like, that's really big on his mind. And if he's, you know, on the Spurs without Splitter and with Duncan playing 20 minutes a night, he's playing some center.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I would never bet against Greg Popovich at anything. Right. But we're talking baseball.
Right. Yes.
Oh, baseball.
Baseball. Talk to us. Aaron Aflalo, 2 years, $18 million.
We can just do it.
What
NBA
a slap in the face to the Knicks again. He doesn't want to be long-term with them.
What is he, a shortstop?
Oh, my goodness. Mark, I really want to give you the floor here because we're about to hit some serious dog days of summer after the Women's World Cup. There's not a lot on baseball. Talk to us. Why should we be watching this? And don't say to play fantasy baseball. I'm talking about actually sitting in front of the TV right. and watching a full game. First of all, when was the last time you've done that? Tell the truth.
Yes. Last week.
Wow.
Yeah. I also went to...
Oh, that was Scherzer's no-hitter.
Last week, I actually went to a Nats game. I went.
No. Being there live doesn't count either.
Of course it does.
TV.
So this is what the argument is. It's TV?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about baseball. It's
so you haven't done it.
Qualifiers. Go ahead.
All right. So,
he's
going to
cry. I thought you only cried against mine when we talked Manziel. You got to cry about baseball?
I did not.
Look,
oh, he didn't
if Johnny
cry.
Manziel
okay.
doesn't make you cry, this won't make you cry. Johnny crying. Manziel makes me cry.
Maybe Manziel's going to play baseball. Then we got something to talk about.
He very well could be. All right. That's honestly the thing
might try
about
to snort the first baseline.
Oh, low
Sorry,
blow.
Just,
that was,
just
oh,
the
boom.
First baseline, not the other baselines.
The first base is where they keep the good Coke. That's in the 80s. They would do that. That's where they would sprinkle it.
All right. Yep. That's disgusting. Now here are the tears.
I mean,
here
think about it. Keith Hernandez plays first. You got to have it nearby.
That's disgusting.
Go ahead.
Know. What were we talking about? Baseball.
Baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Honestly, for the good portion of my life, I did not care about baseball. It's like it seemed long, it seemed boring, it seemed slow, not like anything I wanted to do. Football's over, basketball hasn't started yet, and you've got like 2 or 3 months of like just waiting for those things to pick back up again.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that was growing up in a market that didn't have a baseball team.
What are you, Garrison Keillor? You're giving us Lake Wobegon of why you like baseball? Tell us now, why should we be watching baseball? What are the exciting stories, man?
What is happening right now? Like living here in Washington, D.C., the Washington Nationals, though not necessarily a great team, are like the most entertaining team to watch right now.
Really? That's a bold statement.
Absolutely. I think if you look at their pitching staff, which goes, I guess, 7 deep at this point, considering the people that they've had to bring up based on injury and things. Just last week, they had that ended with Scherzer's last start. They had a streak of 47 straight scoreless innings between all of their starting pitchers.
Doesn't that make you think a little bit, though, that just the hitting is just terrible in the major leagues?
I think that's
is that
part.
Supportable, what I just said?
I don't believe so.
It's obviously
so. I mean,
not the steroid era.
No,
but
it's not the steroid era. But if you look at the actual stats and runs being put up in games, I think that is definitely on par with things that have happened in the past. It's just that there's an echelon of high level of starting pitchers that didn't exist about 10 years ago.
Right. Where'd they come from?
Is it just
the sort of thing where these things come in cycles?
I think
they
come in cycles.
I've read a couple of things about how like they're teaching pitchers now at a young age, like, it's like better to teach them how to throw hard than how to throw different pitches. I read an article about that. Like, because that's something people have been saying for decades. Like, if you teach kids how to throw like an overhand curve, you're going to blow out their arms.
Right.
And then, of course, there's advances in surgery, which have helped a ton.
Surgeries have helped a lot. Honestly, if you can build up power in terms of speed, you can pick up a secondary pitch and a breaking speed pitch when you actually get into the minor leagues and the major leagues, and that can actually bring your game to an entire level. And you're not pitching with that pitch that gives a lot of torque onto your elbow earlier and earlier in your career.
So the Nationals are a great story.
Yes,
you're feeling that. What else?
Absolutely. I mean, again, the game that I went to, I'm going to put pigeonhole back because I'm fancy and I go to baseball games. I went to...
Yes, you're a regular fancy lad.
I'm a fancy lad.
Fancy or fantasy?
It's both, oh. but mostly fancy.
Mostly fancy.
So it was fantastic to sit there in the stands and watch Strasburg in his first game coming back from the disabled list. He threw a lot of pitches. His command wasn't 100% there, but 90% of his pitches went 97 miles an hour.
Wow, did he get the win?
He absolutely got the win.
He went.
It was part of the 47 innings of scoreless. He threw six scoreless. He looked great. I mean, it's fun to be part kind of in an area around a team that has that kind of excitement. But if you're talking about an actual what is big going on in baseball this year that you should be paying attention to, not necessarily in what's local to us, we can talk about the young players. We heard a lot about Chris Bryant coming into the season, not going to be able to for the Cubs, not starting the year because they wanted to save that extra year of free agency. But if you look at what is happening with young players, not just with the Cubs or the Astros, but kind of everywhere. Out of the top 20 rated prospects in Keith Law's top prospects for ESPN before the season, 12 of the 20 have been promoted to the major leagues so far this year.
Wow.
It's fantastic. It's not just Chris Bryant. It's not just Carlos Correa, who's going to be a top five shortstop.
Carlos Correa for the Astros.
The Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. He'll be a top five shortstop possibly next year.
Wow.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the New York Mets pitching staff. I mean, you in addition to Harvey and DeGrom that have just been fantastic there, they've had two call-ups just this season with Noah Syndergaard and most recently Steven Matz, who in his opening game throws six innings, seven strikeouts, and he has four RBIs in his first game.
Okay. Everybody knows that if Alex Rodriguez walked into this room right now, we'd all be like, oh, snap, that's Alex Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez donating his $6 million home run bonus to charity.
Which we called that on the show.
You absolutely called it,
I did,
yes.
But I specifically said it should be to a New York-based charity. Do we know if that's what's happening?
I don't have the actual statistics.
Because that would be the bomb move, especially. You know, it would be the ultimate. I mean, this would be.
Is it Derek Jeter's foundation?
No.
Because I hope so.
No. Let me tell you something. The new Yankee Stadium got built about 6 years ago, got opened up 5-6 years ago, and it opened up with a just a wreck of broken promises to the South Bronx about what the funds for the stadium would also bring. I know what else is new. They were supposed to build rec centers, parks. Mm-hmm. The Yankees promised it, and they just didn't deliver. It was so bad that I know a very well-known community leader in the South Bronx who was on the Yankees' payroll to facilitate that whole process, and he quit in protest and walked away from a lot of money because he was so disgusted. He said he couldn't live with himself. That's how upsetting it was. And I think if A-Rod gave that money to finishing the projects that the Yankees didn't fund,
that'd be awesome.
That would be some Machiavelli right there. But let me ask you this. The point is, if A-Rod walked in here, we'd all know who he is. Who else in Major League Baseball right now can we say that about? Who is because I wouldn't know anyway, but who is developing? Bryce Harper, maybe. Prince Fielder, who's having a great comeback year.
Absolutely.
Who else is developing that kind of personable cachet where they can walk in and we'll know them? Because it ain't Chris Bryant. I don't know what that dude looked like.
For now, I mean, you build your cults of personality around that. If you look at the scraggly-haired pitchers on the West Coast, Clayton Kershaw and especially Madison Bumgarner after the playoffs last year, throwing his arm off and still somehow being able to throw this season. I think locally, Bryce Harper
is he having
definitely
a good
has
year?
That. Absolutely.
Bumgarner's having a good year?
I mean, it's middling. Everybody's kind of up
and he's
there.
Always been middling. He just had an amazing playoff.
It's like he's definitely an ace.
Not middling, but he's like an 18-10 pitcher. He's not a 25-2 pitcher.
He's a 21 pitcher this year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. All right, well, that's something to watch, too.
There you go.
Are the Giants in contention? Because this is supposed to be their off year when they go on off.
They are still in contention. Their offense is absolutely, while not great, is now injured and not great, but their pitching staff has been pretty good. So Nori Aoki broke a leg, even though he was.
What is it, coach?
Hey, Mark, you've done well, but.
He has done well.
You got
all right.
Another 80 games to play.
Yes.
You've got Wimbledon, Fortnite of Wimbledon. You got the British opening. Why would I forego those to watch baseball? You really haven't convinced me.
You got 1 minute left, Mark. Yeah.
All right. The reason you watch baseball, and you don't have to watch baseball every single game, the reason you watch baseball is you catch the individual game to see the great individual performance. You can see the Scherzer perfect game. Mm. You can see Bryce Harper hit two home runs out. And there's the possibility for that. Every single time, every single game, I love it. And you should watch it. And I can't watch tennis or soccer.
That was golf. The British Open was golf, not soccer.
That was well done, Mark. You had me till the last sentence. Wimbledon's awesome. All right, we got to go. Well done, Mark.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.
One, two, three, move. Dave Zirin will be right back with more Edge of Sports Radio.
Now some time for Kawasumi. She plays it forward. Okimi was there. Oh, missed touch.
You're listening to Edge of Sports Radio with Dave Zirin.
We are back here on Edge of Sports Radio watching that game last night with my kids, both of whom call themselves Japanomaniacs because they love the Japanese team so much. And they were on the edge of their seats rooting for Japan. Even they were devastated at the way that game ended. Their team won and they were devastated. I've never seen a gut punch like that in my life, in any sporting event, given the stage, given the setting, given the moment. To talk about that and much more regarding the World Cup taking place right now in the great country of Canada, we have professor, academic, author, journalist, advocate, Brenda Elzey. Brenda, how are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
So glad to have you on the show. I really want to talk to you about last night's game, about the World Cup, about the finals and what you expect. But before I do any of that, I really wanted to ask you about your experience of being at the Women's World Cup in Montreal. What was that like? What games did you see? What was the mood of the crowd like? And what does it tell you about the state of the women's game?
Well, I saw two very different games in Montreal. One I saw between Brazil and Spain. And although the attendance was good, the enthusiasm was pretty low, on the low side. It was a crowd that was itself really interesting. Lots of young girls that clearly played themselves, had their club shirts on. So they were sort of savvy watchers, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, not partisan, but definitely into the sport itself and appreciated the talents of both the Spanish and Brazilian team. The game I saw on Tuesday between the U.S. and Germany was insane. It was wild. It mm-hmm. was a ton of fun and a lot of respect for both teams from the crowd, but clearly pro-U.S. crowd. So I think it bodes very well for the game.
Okay. Is the U.S. where they are right now if Hope Solo is not in the goal?
I don't know. She hasn't been challenged that
exactly.
much because the defenders have been so good.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking, because there was such an argument that, well, you know, from a very sort of mercenary perspective, all of her off-field stuff had to be ignored because there was nobody on the bench who had any World Cup experience in goal. And she was, if not their best player, she was their most important player. But that hasn't played out yet, has it?
It hasn't, though it's hard to say psychologically what that means.
Right.
Definitely, I mean, you saw the penalty kick against Germany when Hope Solo takes her time. She's an absolutely intimidating goalie and very, very talented. So that gives her defenders a lot of confidence, too. So even though she hasn't been challenged that much, it may, in fact, play more than it looks.
And once again, before we get to the semifinals and what took place, I'm always very interested in the Women's World Cup because of the soccer, the excitement, all of that. But also because I always think, you know, it's an incredible viewfinder into the state of the development of the game in different countries, where it is, what's happening. Big picture, Women's World Cup, particularly looking at countries in the Global South. What does this World Cup say to you about the state of the women's game?
It says to me that the women in the Global South are not getting the support that they need to make it into the quarterfinals. I mean, they were all out by that time, despite having some of the most talented players in the world. And FIFA development money allots 15% for the development of the women's game. And I think it's very telling that they see women as being 15% of the sport's future. Mm. And this proportionally affects women in the Global South that have greater obstacles to the development of the game because they don't have domestic professional leagues mm-hmm. and they don't have, you know, very wealthy associations.
Mm. Yeah, that was, I think, very evident. And the place where I think it hurts the most is a country that, you know, is obviously near and dear to my heart, a country that's bigger than the continental U.S., a country of 200 million people, a country that's soccer mad. Of course, I'm talking about Brazil. I wanted Brazil to make a big run, if for no other reason, to really just stick it to the incredibly sexist people who run soccer in Brazil. What was your take on Brazil's performance in this World Cup?
You know, it's very hard. I mean, from the beginning, I questioned the choice of Vidal as a coach. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a winning record in club soccer in Brazil. And I really questioned, I mean, he played Marta so deep, I'm not sure why. So there were some decisions that I think have yet to be explained. Of course, the CBF has, throughout this tournament, continued different various leaders to make racially insensitive and sexist remarks. And I think that they honestly seemed quite depressed against mm-hmm. Australia. I mean, turf in their face. You know, Marta looked kind of down. Cristiani looked pretty depressed. Those are two of the most talented strikers in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really takes its toll to see the lack of support from both the CBF, the official, you know, confederation, and also the fans at home. If you look through the pages of Folha and the major newspapers in Brazil, there's absolutely nothing on the team.
Yeah, I agree with you about the kind of gray cloud that seemed to be hanging over the team. On a flip side, and I would love to hear if you disagree with me about this, the showcase of Nigeria and Cameroon, I mean, had a lot, I thought, to be excited about. Obviously, the resource question is still there. But in terms of the players, the spirit, what they brought to the pitch, I mean that was hopeful, I think, at least for future World Cups.
Oh, I think so, too. And I also think Colombia and Ecuador's appearances yes. were really exciting. I think that shows how exciting it is to expand the field and have greater inclusion. It makes everybody, you know, more excited about watching the game. And it honestly, a lot of these stars, if you're a fan of women's soccer, they play in the English Premier League. They play in the NWSL in our own country, right? And it's really great to see them on this kind of a stage. And they bring a lot to the game.
Okay, we're here talking with Brenda Elsey. Brenda, all right, I got to bring it to the other night. I just put us in your shoes through your eyes. You're smarter about this stuff than we are, or than I'm sure most of our audience is. I'm just watching the game with my kids, rooting for Japan, and then we're like torn to bits by how it ended. I ask you, though, as you're watching it, what game are you seeing? Who do you think had the edge as the game entered its 91st minute? And what was your reaction when the own goal heard around the world took place?
Oh, it's just devastating. It's absolutely. I'm also a big fan of Japan. Japan, for me, plays Brazil's game. Mm-hmm. It's a short pass game, a game of possession. They really sort of put their skills on the stage, right? They have beautiful ball handling. I'm a huge Japan fan, but England, they played just brilliantly. They didn't make any mistakes until that extra time. And it actually wasn't a poor decision for Bassett to try to clear that ball in the way that she did. It was terrible luck.
Yeah, unbelievable luck. So I mean, I could say, like, I think she could make that play 10,000 times and not have what happened. I mean, there's a greater chance of her doing
right.
it. Yeah, it could.
I think that's right. You know, it was. I will say, though, it was a pretty roughly officiated game. It was a game where I think both of those penalties are questionable. I mean, we can say that they can't. So I think it was also a strange game. Japan had a lot of miscues between them, which is really rare. So part of that is the defense running interceptions, and part of that might be Japan's sort of fatigue and some miscalculation.
As an advocate for the women's game, and I consider myself one as well, we're all heartsick about how the game ended, but of course it then becomes the news story of the day. It becomes like this international and constantly replayed moment. And now spinning it forward, I mean, is it better or worse for the women's game that it's Japan and not England playing the United States in the finals? What would have been, do you think, a more marquee matchup?
You know, honestly, I think when Japan plays well, Japan is the most exciting team to watch in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And then paired with the U.S.'s enthusiasm, excitement, they're on such a momentous run. I think that we've got the marquee that we need. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing to not see, in some sense, a different the way that the berths went and the slotting from FIFA. I mean, the way that France and Germany played, the way that they did, it might have been nice to see them on the other side of the bracket. But I think we're going to have a fantastic game. And I think, actually, and this is rarely thought of, on Saturday, the third place game between England and Germany, I'm actually really excited to watch.
Oh, wow. I think Germany's going to destroy England. I mean, I think Germany's going to be, like, angry.
I don't know. I think they both
And I think
feel
England
good.
Might be shell-shocked. I don't know.
I think they might both feel like, you know, that this is a third place game where they've really got a stake in it. You know, whether it's just making up or not. I mean, frequently people say, oh, there's not a lot of energy. Oh, I think you're not understanding the competitive nature of these female athletes.
I think Sunday morning there's going to be a headline that just says, The Blitz 2.0. I could be wrong, but I see all kinds of cheesy World War II headlines coming to the fore.
Oh, yeah. Well, there already has been, but somehow nobody seems to
nobody
to have
tires
mentioned that Russia's not in the tournament.
That's true. Give us a prediction. Who there do you, we go. What do you like in the
and
finals?
Score.
Oh, historians score. Are notoriously terrible at predicting. It depends on the officiating. I think the U.S. has so much energy and so much momentum right now. I believe it is Megan Rapinoe's birthday.
Wow.
So I got to go with the U.S.
Score?
Score.
It's been one goal games the whole way.
It's got to be low. It's got to be really low. I'm going to say 2-1. U.S.
I wrote mine down before we started. I have U.S. beating Japan 2-1. So I have to say to you nothing other than brilliant prediction, Brendan.
You're such a star, Dave.
Yeah, and you heard it from us first.
Yes. Give us your Twitter handle before you go.
It's Politicultura, P-O-L-I-T-I, Cultura, C-U-L-T-U-R-A.
One of my favorite Twitter follows. People should follow Brenda Elsley, Politicultura. I probably said that wrong. Thank you so much for joining us on Edge of Sports.
Thanks much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was Brenda Elsley, ladies and gents. We got to go to break. We'll be back right after this.
Dave Zirin will continue with Edge of Sports Radio after the break. Dave Zirin returns on Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide.
Boom, we're back here on Edge of Sports Radio. We played that little Sesame Street riff because retiring from Sesame Street is the actress who's played Maria for 44 years on Sesame Street.
I thought it had something to do with my segment, you know what I mean?
No. Like,
downing the brother, you know what I'm saying?
I was going to get hot. You want to announce, Coach?
No? I don't know. Coach, talking. Let me break this down for you, Coach.
Right.
$1.4 billion was spent yesterday on NBA free agents.
Yes.
Dan Gilbert, a.k.a. Subprime Dan the Snitch, Dan Gilbert spent more on free agents yesterday than he spent buying the club. It's a remarkable set of circumstances of what's happening in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely remarkable. Mm-hmm. I want to throw it over to you to kick off this segment on the madness of NBA free agency. And I don't want to shock you, but I got my own thoughts about some of these free agent signings, but please talk to us, my friend.
But you know, you're talking about the over $1 billion. So, what are the owners making? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, let me break this down for you. All right, I'll say this quick because I want you to have the floor here.
People are like,
and I've been having this argument with Ahsan Thomas, played in the NBA 11 years, who just says this just says that the league is popular, and so the players are getting their share of the popularity of the league. That's not exactly it. It's not about, even though the ratings for the finals were good, it's not about the popularity of the league. It's about the fact that nobody watches television anymore. The only things that people actually watch live on television now in big numbers are sports.
Right.
So it becomes the tentpole for all of broadcast television, for the cable industry. Because more and more people, they're going to watch stuff streaming, they're going to watch stuff on their phones, but what is appointment television? What will make you sit through a commercial live?
Is it baseball?
It sure is.
Nicely done.
Sugar in baseball.
Give it up, baby.
It is live sporting events, done. A.K.A. basketball. And so that's why. So this contract was just signed for something like, I think it's $34.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That goes into effect, and that's why the salary cap is going to go up so much next year.
Mm-hmm.
And because the salary cap is going up so much, everything that's a max contract now could conceivably look like a bargain in the years to come.
Right.
So you sign someone like Chris Middleton. This is one of the sticker shock things. $70 million for 5 years. People are like, holy crap. That could be seen as a terrible deal. But let's pretend it even is a terrible deal. The cap goes up in the next couple years. And then all of a sudden, you only have Chris Middleton on the books for a couple more years at just a fraction of your total cap.
Mm-hmm.
And by his last year, if he's terrible, you can trade him for cap space, for cap relief. So you're really only stressing yourself out on Chris Middleton for one frickin' year. And when you have a player of that, so you're really only, the $70 million 5 years is really only a one-year risk, because after that, the risk factor goes down dramatically. And this is if he's terrible. If he's really good, then holy crap, you have a 6'11", 3-point shooting badass who's only making $13, $14 million a year.
Only.
I know we say only. We're going to get to that, too, about the Mickey Mouse numbers here. But given the relative cap, that's going to look like a nice deal, especially when you have Brook Lopez signing for $20 million dollars a year. Mm-hmm. I'll take $14 million of Chris Middleton, 5 years at $70 million, over 3 years at $60 million of Brooke Lopez any day. Give me a break.
It's all.
I mean, it's hard to say that when it's this much frickin' money,
right?
But
right.
It's all relative. Mm-hmm. Right. Now there are some surprises that happen, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And I think just one thing that I think we've seen so far is that people are scared that their bodies are more like Wes Matthews' body than LeBron James's body. Because there was all this talk that a lot of these big money dudes would be signing 1 year deals so they could get the bigger cap. But I think that a lot of people looked at what happened with not just Wes Matthews, but a couple other cats too. Kevin Love, frankly, being one of them.
Well, he's been fragile, but again, you're talking about the playoffs when all the guys were going down and people were saying, yes, trying to connect the dots and, you know, tracing all the way back to AAU, which I don't see.
No, I don't buy that.
I don't either. So, yeah, protect yourself. Get the money now.
Get the money now. Yeah. I mean, I frankly think it's overtraining is what I think it is why these injuries happen. It's not about AAU.
Okay.
Weight training is about stress on the body.
Exactly. I've always been about weight training.
Stress on the body.
It's a funny thing, Dave. Back in my day when we were playing, weight training for basketball players was, oh, my gosh, no.
Yeah, you don't
throws
do
my
that.
Shot off. You know, mm-hmm. And again, things change. Because also back in those days, going for water breaks was like, you know, you're soft. So a lot's changed,
We've gotten smarter, and we've also gotten less smart at the same time. Right. It's a weird, lovely combination of things.
But
meaning about humanity is doomed. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, this is a fluid situation where we are now Thursday. I think it's 12 guys that are over $60 million guaranteed. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that speaks to what we were talking about, the numbers. Couple of things on free agent. I want to go fast here because I want to talk about the Lakers, the rationale between why the Knicks and Lakers are being shut out. I think it's a fascinating dialogue. But here's a couple quick hits. Big winner, San Antonio.
Jesus, the segment just died.
I know.
The big winner, the Kansas City Colonels, the Fort Wayne Pistons.
Especially, I mean, it's locked up if they get
Colonels.
LaMarcus.
Sorry,
right? I know you're talking about. Dan Issel and the boys. Come on. Mark didn't know what we're talking about.
Nope.
Mark's like, what's Kentucky?
Signing Kawhi Leonard, we knew it was going to happen. But getting Danny Green and not having to forego money was a good thing. Getting rid of a splitter for his cap money. So if they get Aldridge, I say they will be the favorites over the Cavs, even though they've re-signed everybody.
Agreed.
And the Dubs, who got Draymond Green. And the only thing I would say they would need to do is get a backup point guard. They got to upgrade that because I'm not fans of Patty Mills and Corey Joseph.
Patty Mills is already gone, I think.
Is he? Well, okay. But the point is, Jeremy Lin is out there, which would be another international flavor.
It's a good backup.
Yep, he's an unrestricted free agent, as is Shane Larkin of the Knicks, who I like coming out of Miami.
I like Shane Larkin, too.
Patrick Beverley, I like, but he's restricted from Houston.
I don't think he's very good. Go ahead. I think Patrick Beverley is profoundly overrated.
Is that right? Well, he's a defense. But again, you want a pass-first guy. Parker's breaking down, so you got to watch that.
Before you go on,
yes.
What's so brilliant about what San Antonio's doing is they are effectively creating a new big three while the current big three are there.
Yes,
like, A, I think Danny Green is that good that you can call him a big three.
I don't,
B,
but
I do.
I hear where you're going.
I do. B, I think Kawhi Leonard is going to be an all-star for the next 10 years.
Yep.
And C, I think LaMarcus Aldridge is the best four in the NBA. I'll say it. Best four in the NBA.
Consider where Duncan is right now. Yeah, on the way
down. Of course.
Yeah,
oh, no, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing like in the present tense.
Yeah. And LaMarcus.
But I'm putting him ahead of Blake Griffin. Like, if I'm starting a team, I'm taking him over Blake.
Blake is overvalued. And here's the thing. Aldridge is a class guy. Never been in any trouble that I can think of. I mean, a hard guy. I mean, he had the thumb surgery. He's supposed to have thumb surgery. He said, no, I'm going to play, and did.
Nice. Tough
You know, tough guy. I get every dollar coming to him.
And he's leaving Portland for exactly the right reason.
Yes, sir.
He wants to win.
Other winners.
This is a nail in Mark's heart.
Such a nail.
Well, when you have a point guard whose butt everybody kisses who can't play defense, that sort of thing happens. Go ahead.
Wow, I'll leave that one alone. But
that's called being a John Wall fan. I'm still salty if people be like, "I'll take Lillard over Wall." It's like leave now. But go ahead. We'll talk about the Wizards in a second.
Okay.
Go.
The big boys stayed health serve.
Very
Love
good.
Thompson
Cleveland.
Shelford stayed in Cleveland. But
how does that front court work though? Because Mozgov's a part of it, Varejao's now a part
Coming
of it.
Back, yeah.
You have Love, you have Thompson, and you of course have LeBron. How do you run that front court?
Here's the deal: it's a good thing, the problem to have. They're working.
I disagree. I never have been a fan of the "it's a good problem to have" approach to managing a basketball team. It's a small organism. It's not like being a football team and stocking up on tight ends.
Disagree. Okay.
People get mad when they don't have minutes.
Thompson. Well, Thompson's going to have his money, and it doesn't seem like the center. Help me out.
Mozgov.
Mozgov is going to be storming into the locker room saying, "I'm on my minutes." Virgil's not that kind of cat either. So I think they can work it out. And these guys have never sniffed a ring. They got the money. I think they'll work it out.
Puts a lot on David Blatt, unless LeBron's
doing
substitutions.
No, put a lot on LeBron, and he'd say, "Hey guys, how many do I have? Who am I? Let's do this thing." They'd be all right. Butler, Dunleavy stayed home. Millsap stayed in Atlanta, but Atlanta losing Carroll to Toronto is a concern. Green stayed in Golden State. Brandon Knight, Tyson Chandler.
Let's talk about that very briefly. Draymond Green. You got to give first names, dude. Because Danny Green, Draymond Green, Willie Green is out there. Lorne Green, remember, from Battlestar Galactica?
And Apple commercials.
Exactly. But let me ask you this, though, about Draymond Green.
Yes.
He will be making now twice as much almost as our good friend Steph Curry. I know everybody's like, Steph Curry's a class guy, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Yes and no. It's a timing thing. You know, I'm in sales.
Of course it's a timing thing.
No, but don't diminish that. In sales, you are good because timing. I could be the best at knocking on doors, networking, doing proposals. If the time's not right, it's not going to sell. Draymond Green is hitting the lottery at the right time, won a championship, and they got to understand. He fell in favor when David Lee got hurt, steps in, maxes out on opportunity, gets paid. Now, watch this. 2 years ago, Curry was not the flavor of the day.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, Under Armour signed him because Nike wouldn't.
Right.
Okay, so he's not going to begrudge this guy because he knows what he came from to going from
Curry's
fighting for a contract.
Years on the steal, doesn't he?
Right. Now,
jeez.
Okay, but the point I'm trying to say,
Curry understands. We were talking before about Chris Middleton.
Yes.
Klay Thompson is a great example, though, of what I'm talking about. Because when Klay Thompson signed that max deal a year ago, people said, that's crazy. There was a lot of sticker shock about that deal. Same with John Wall. There were big columns. Why are you giving Wall the max? There are. Let's see if there are other suitors out there. And I think that a lot of these executives were smartly forward-thinking. Because if you bet on a player's potential and you see the cap going up, it looks like a really sweet deal. Like now Klay Thompson, I mean, looks like that is a very fair price for Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. And John Wall, no one would say John Wall's not a max player at this point. Right. But it's like, and also that max deal for Wall does not cripple the team in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Once the cap goes up. Sorry, go ahead.
Once you win a championship, it's hard to argue with. You know, whether he's max or not. Hey, you got a ring because the guy was there and a major contributor.
Yeah, and I think Klay's contributions were underrated.
Another winner is Milwaukee. I'm a Greg Monroe fan. I know him. He played on my summer league team at the Kenner League here in Georgetown.
Wait, who did?
Greg Monroe.
Oh, Greg Monroe.
I'm a big fan. Greg is not a super athlete, but he's smart. He's a 16-10 every night guy, a class act. I'm a big fan of Greg.
Do you wish he'd sign with the Knicks because there's more glory in New York?
I wish he'd sign with Boston, actually, because I'm a Boston fan with what's Coach DC
Stevens.
Brad Stevens and
Opie Taylor.
Yeah.
Opie Cunningham.
So I'm glad he passed on the Knicks and the Lakers. I'm just a Greg Monroe fan, and he's long. And that just fits Jason Kidd mold of all those players he's got out there. So watch Milwaukee. They're a winner. Quickly, some losers. We always know about the Lakers and Knicks.
Do you think the Lakers regret taking D'Angelo Russell over Jahlil Okafor?
Yes, because that was the motivation. The minute I heard it, I was coming back from refereeing ball games. And the minute I heard it, I said, yeah, of course. They're doing that because they're going to take they think they can sign one of the bigs because there's like four or five capable bigs out there. They knew they would get one. Get the point guard who's going to have the ball for 12 years.
Who's that big going to be now?
Well,
DeAndre Jordan doesn't want him. LaMarcus, Kevin Love. I mean, who's left right now? Robin Lopez.
Yeah, come on now.
Dear God.
Yeah, you might be able to post him up. So, I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean might?
Oh, here we go.
Please.
Another loser, Indiana, Monte Ellis. I'm not feeling that one at all.
Decent price, though.
Here's the deal. I don't care. He's a chemistry killer. He's a points first guy, wins second. And then I'll get out on this one. Pierce going to the Clippers was a necessary thing because they just brought on all nutball Lance Stephenson.
Oh, sure. That part makes it necessary.
That locker room is a septic tank. So,
no, I agree.
They needed Paul Pierce.
Is your heart broken a little bit about Pierce leaving the Wizards?
We're ready to go.
Yours is.
Oh, mine is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to break. We'll be back after this while I cry about Paul Pierce.
Edge of Sports Radio with Dave Zirin. We'll return after this. Edge of Sports Radio returns. Here's Dave Zirin.
Boom, back here in Edge of Sports Radio. A little bit of breaking news. Just Monte Ellis, as you said, signed with the Pacers. Just came out that he was offered a decent chunk of change more to go to the Kings, and he said no. Just something.
They're going to get Rondo.
Dude. It's
going to be the Kentucky show.
The Kings are a dumpster fire has horse manure at the bottom. That when you put out the fire, you get poop all up your leg.
There has to be a Hard Knocks version of basketball.
Oh,
there
my God.
There has to be if they get Rondo.
And it's got to go to the Kings. All right, we were talking before about that horrific end to the England-Japan game, the own goal. One of the worst moments in sports history. I mean, one of the most heartbreaking ones where a player, through a mistake, cost their team terribly. Coach, you gave some examples.
Mm-hmm.
Beforehand, you mentioned Freddie Brown's pass, Georgetown,
pass against Carolina.
The Buckner ground ball, of Buckner course,
ball.
Chris Webber's timeout.
And Pete Carroll.
And Pete Carroll saying, hey, let's not give it to Marshawn Lynch. Let's do a crossing pattern over the middle from the one-yard line.
Right.
There's never been an interception from there before, so why would it happen now?
Super Bowl.
Dumbass.
Super Bowl.
We got Noah Tilton. Noah, I'm asking you because you are a true athlete, at least compared to the jamokes in this room. And I want to ask you.
What do you call me?
Oh, you're all jamokes.
I got your jamoke outside, buddy.
Yeah, I'm asking you. Have you ever in your hockey, football, tiddlywinks career, have you ever had a moment like that?
No, I've been lucky enough to have not had something as terrible as that happen.
Have you been on the field, perhaps, or on the rink where, you know, there are own goals in hockey, of course. I don't know if they're called own goals.
Not very common.
So you've never been in, like, a game that ended in heartbreaking fashion because a teammate just really, 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 they weren't beaten, honestly, but they had just a bit of a brain fart.
There have been brain farts every now and then, but it hasn't been, like, you know, maybe if they don't make one decision, we come out on top.
Are you prepared, though, that their odds are that will happen at some point? Is sports still worth doing, knowing something this terrible could happen?
I think it is, just because it might happen against you, and
good
you
answer.
Could be benefiting.
Good answer, buddy. Good
That's
answer.
A good answer. Of course, you're wrong. The day it does happen, you'll wish you never played sports, and you'll wish you'd listened to me when I said, find non-competitive outlets, like competitive...
Speedwalking?
Yeah. Do that, man. All right, for all these jamokes, I'm Dave Zirin. We are out of here.
Peace.
Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide. Tune in next week and go to edgeofsports.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.